Traffic and Safety Commission meeting held on September 21st, 2022. I will now take roll. Chairman Reese.
Here.
Here.
Willis.
Here.
Brahman.
Here.
Bro.
Here.
Hasga.
Here.
All right, so this is a tabled conversation from the last meeting where we were discussing the at the northeast corner of town. And before we get rolling, we're just going to have Callaway kind of present the updated recommended improvements that was kind of a result of the discussion from the last. You want to? Kind
of- yeah. Excuse me. Kind of loud. Good evening. Michael Worthman with KLOA. It's good to see everybody again. For your direction, we went back and looked at some additional measures that could be implemented in the neighborhood. And what we looked at is doing it in an incremental or a step basis, starting with the least severe, lower cost measures first, and working up to those more severe, more expensive physical improvements. And the purpose of this is to let's start small, see if these things, measures help the situation. And if not, you can incrementally keep on going higher and higher with the measures. And these are some of the recommendations of how to implement it that you see in the manuals regarding traffic calming. So the first phase or the first stage is what we would call signage and striping type of modifications. What we want to do is further calm the traffic in the neighborhood, and this is providing additional signage and striping to better direct vehicles that are going through the neighborhood, make them more aware of what is going on. Some of the recommendations we have and they're on this exhibit include new all-way stop sign controlled intersections at Greenfield and Bonnie Bray, as we talked about last time. Also at Lemoyne and Williams. So two new all-way stop sign controlled intersections. In addition, we're looking at providing additional speed limit signs throughout the neighborhood. So no matter which direction you're coming in, as you enter a street, you understand that this is a 25 mile an hour zone. We're recommending that to make them more aware, to provide the yellow borders around them so people see them and understand them better. Second, instituting 20 mile an hour school zone speed limits along Lemoyne and Jackson in front of the school. We think that should be in no matter what. Providing some additional school warning signs within proximity of the school. Adding no truck signs on all of the streets except Clinton Place, which in your ordinance is a truck route. So adding those signs. And then adding Sharrow markings on Greenfield to sort of narrow that pavement width by putting the Sharrows on there and letting people know that this is a shared lane used by both bicycles and vehicles. It's a shared bike route. Also putting high visibility ladder style crosswalks at intersections that don't have them. Right now, there's no crosswalks on any of the approaches at North Avenue. So we're recommending high visibility crosswalks up at those intersections, as well as where we're putting the all-way stop sign control, adding the high visibility crosswalks at those locations. We think this will go a long way to help calm the traffic in the neighborhood. Talked about last time, the volumes in the neighborhood, the speed, the volumes are reasonable for what you would find on residential streets typically. And the speeds on most of the streets are very reasonable. They're within the speed limits on those streets. The second phase, if these measures don't become successful or effective, phase two would be to install physical traffic calming measures, both physical and horizontal measures. What we're recommending is to consider curb extensions. I think we all know what curb extensions are. You have those on Chicago Avenue where you narrow the width of the road by extending out the sidewalks. This provides several benefits, and one, it narrows the width of the road. So it slows down the traffic, but two, it greatly increases the pedestrian experience as they're crossing a shorter distance, but more importantly, they're further out into the intersection, so there's better sight lines for the pedestrians and for the motorists to see the pedestrians. I'm having contact issues. Locations for these include Greenfield with Bonnie Bay, Greenfield with Clinton, Greenfield with Williams, and Lemoy with Jackson. So those four locations, several on Green Bay, or excuse me, Greenfield, in order to help slow down the traffic along Greenfield, as well as narrow that lane to help try to reduce some of the volume on Greenfield, as that's one of the higher volume streets. In addition, we're looking at suggesting to provide bump outs at all of the north-south streets, or most of the north-south streets, at the alleys. So this is, as you pass the alley, you would have curb extensions coming out, so the effective width of the road would narrow to 20 to 22 feet. So as you come into the neighborhood, it's much more narrow. Two vehicles can pass at the same time, but they have to go at a much slower speed. You can see this in Oak Park off of North Avenue on one of their intersections, and they tend to be pretty effective at reducing speed and reducing volumes through there. We would suggest those at all five streets, north-south streets within the neighborhood. The last is that you can consider is speed bumps. If you want to put in the speed bumps, we would suggest putting those in on the last block your community. Speed bumps do affect the emergency response times. That's one of the big negatives of them. As such, if they're on your northernmost block, it has the least impact on emergency vehicles as they're not going further north than those streets. You could put those on any of the north-south streets neighborhood. One other thing about speed bumps, a couple negatives with them is while they do slow traffic down in the proximity of the speed bump, you tend to find vehicles that speed in between the speed bumps to make up that time. They also can be noisy as you drive over them, and they do have impacts for other modes of transportation, particularly bicyclists. Not aware of it, and coming up over those speed humps can be tough for bicyclists. The last stage would be if, you know, the physical ones don't seem to be effective, would be to look at enhancing North Avenue. And what we're suggesting, as you get past up to William Street, that right turn opens up eastbound on North Avenue. So as you're going there, it's two lanes, then it opens up to three. So if you're making the right, usually when you get past Williams, you're opened up and you can get to the right turn lane and make your right on Harlan. So it's not such an issue because you can see that you can make the right turn and you can make a right turn on red there. What happens is you get parking on the other blocks, which blocks access to that right turn lane. So one suggestion is to prohibit parking during peak periods, the morning and the evening at those locations to open up that through lane, that right turn lane. However, this will have some impact on the businesses. So you would need to work with the businesses to make sure they're not going to be impacted too much. The other thing you could look to do, and you do this further down on North Avenue, just past Thatcher, is putting peak hour turn restrictions, you know, prohibiting that right turn from 4 to 6, 7 to 9, whatever you think is appropriate to minimize that traffic coming through there. I know there's been a lot of discussions on cul-de-sacs, and, you know, cul-de-sacs are great. They will stop the traffic going through there, but they do have some impacts in the fact that it reduces emergency time to these streets. It pushes traffic onto other roads and increases the traffic on other residential streets. And you have to determine which ones you're going to do, which people are going to be happy that they got a cul-de-sac and which ones are not going to be happy that gets the extra through traffic. So while cul-de-sacs are effective, they also have some negative effects that you have to weigh and see what the pros and cons are. That's why we wouldn't suggest doing that right away. Try some of these other measures, and if these are not effective, you know, cul-de-sacking is the most severe measure you can put out there. It does have some ramifications. Yeah. The red ones are A1s. Yes.
Where the red boxes are on the
4. Okay. So at those intersection with the red boxes, you're right. We apologize for that. So the 4 intersections, you would put curb bump outs in there. Only just south of the alleys. It's not for pedestrians. It's just to narrow the street at that location, kind of what we call curb extensions. As you enter the neighborhood, it reduces the width of the road at those locations. Sorry about that mistake, and thanks for catching it. And I'll be here for any questions you have while you deliberate. So the bump outs wouldn't be any deeper than what the parking lane is already. So bump outs are usually about 5 or 6 feet, depending on. So kind of look on Chicago Avenue, you have the bump out and then the parking lane. So it really defines that parking lane.
You got the bump out.
Exactly. Parking on both sides is great. While it restricts the flow of traffic, it also reduces the speed of traffic and reduces the volume of traffic. I always advocate for parking on both sides of the road on local roads, because when you got cars on both sides, you can't go as fast down that road. The best way to reduce speeds on the road is to add more friction to that road, make the road narrower, the perception of the road narrower. And yes, Fenwick has games. I drove by there, I think, Saturday. It was packed on both sides of the road. And yeah, you had to wait maybe for one car to go and then you go. But that's a great way to calm traffic. It slows traffic down. If you're in the neighborhood, you should be very happy for that, because it's really slowing down the traffic. Well, I mean, you can work with that by putting signage up to keep people from parking that close to your driveways. I understand that. I'm talking from a strictly traffic calming standpoint. Yeah, I would say, you know, the amount of times that it happens there, you know, is a handful, mostly on weekends. And, you know, when you have this traffic coming into the neighborhood, it's almost better to have it on both sides, because it calms that traffic. If they're parking on one side and they got to go all the way to the end of the road, probably going to speed up to get down to that end of the road because they're late for their event. So. Bicycle is?
Yeah, sure.
It's a great question. It's a balancing act that, you know, I understand it's a bike route. So everything we do on streets is a balancing act between the different flows and modes of transportation. Getting vehicles to move. It's getting vehicles to be slow. It's getting bicycles. We agree. I don't disagree with you. There's I don't disagree, sir. I mean, there's different ways you can skin the cat. It's an option that we're all going to have to take a look at. If you want to put bike lanes on Greenfield, you're going to lose parking. And I don't know if people want to lose parking on their street. We can't. I have two representatives here, not the whole street. So
I have a question, Ron. You live on Greenfield.
Okay.
But so there's residential, so single family homes. There's Fenwick and single family homes. So hello. There's single family homes on the south side, and then there's buildings on the north side. Say we were to restrict some parking, the first two blocks, so from Harlem to Bonnie Bray to Clinton Place on the north side of Greenfield, are we going to hear that there's no parking for the people that live in those condos or apartments on the north side of the street? Is anybody here? Or a game.
Very little parking.
Okay, so, because again, there's only six of you, and maybe there'll be more at the board meeting next. But I'm thinking about parking on those two streets and restricting parking. And I just don't know if all of a sudden I'm going to hear from living in multi-unit buildings saying, hey, I park there all day long. Because right now it's open parking all day long.
Yeah.
So we're not going to, close it during games. I mean, this is something that we're thinking about in total. Do we limit parking on one side or the other to allow traffic flow? And I just don't know, because I mean, I'm on Bonnie Bray and Greenfield occasionally, and I know there's multi-unit buildings, and I don't know how many people are parking over there literally on a daily basis. I don't care about games, because we all understand that everybody's parking there during games. And we, in my notes from last time, we brought up about contacting Fenwick, now that they own that 7 acres, are they going to increase the parking in there, which in my view is say better, because we need to get them off the street because there's no traffic flow.
I'm looking at the map around the Priory there. There's got to be 100 plus spots inside there. Now own. So I think this is, again, a letter from the village saying, please park on your property.
And we have the bus issues.
Right. Actually, the Fenwick bus I saw parked up on North Avenue blocking traffic. Must have been waiting for.
Beautiful.
I think it needs to be more like Concordia, when you go around Concordia, where Concordia is responsible for those signs. I think Fenwick should be responsible and point them towards their new parking lot. that already exist. But I think that's something we should talk about and make a recommendation that the village, before we get into parking, changing the parking on that street.
So if I can, if you don't mind. So we have a lot to cover. This is a follow-up from our earlier meeting, and there are multiple issues really on the table. What I'd like to do is see if anybody has any specific questions for Mike from KLOA, and then I'd like to open it up to the commissioners to see if, based on the information that is last meeting, the public comment that we've received, information that we received from this meeting, if there are any, particular recommendations. And then I think, the way to handle this with some order would be to discuss those recommendations in turn. So, for example, if we're going to discuss Greenfield parking, we can discuss Greenfield parking. We're going to discuss other restrictions on the northbound, north-south streets. Discussion. I think that's probably to avoid a three-hour meeting, but also to try to make sure that everybody has a chance to comment on the particular proposals and see if we can take them in turn and not have it be a free-for-all. So my first question is, does anyone have any more specific questions for Mike? And we could, Mike can stay, and ask other questions as we go on. But do you have a question for Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. At least historically, we haven't had a hard and fast timeline. I will say that in all the years that I've been on the commission, which is many, we've tended to favor an incremental approach. That doesn't mean that it has to be incremental, but we've tended to favor an incremental approach so that we start with some things, see how they work, and then usually with public comment, we find out if it's working or it's not working. So it could be as early as the next meeting. It could be longer, so there's really not a hard and fast rule on that, but that's generally how we proceed it. It doesn't have to go that way, but,
one thing about phase one, stage one improvements, they're much easier to install. They're all striping and signage as opposed to stage two, where they're physical improvements that you got to go out and build them, cash, the money, the budget, and so forth to get the.
I've got a question for a phase one approach, your experience. So when you would recommend something like that, what type of improvement do you generally see after 6 months?
I mean, it varies. I mean, you can look at various manuals and articles and get a couple percentage lower on speed, you get lower on volumes. What these recommendations are more is to calm that traffic, make sure it's going and following the appropriate rules of the road, that you have safe pedestrian crossings, that bicyclists are safe, as this gentleman brought up. It's more of a complete street to make sure that, unfortunately, you have a grid system with two arterial roadways, so you're going to get some traffic volumes, and you're going to get some cut-through traffic, but you want to make sure if that traffic is cutting through that it's doing it appropriately at appropriate speeds and safely. We don't want cut-through traffic, but it happens, and we all do it. What the study has shown, and I'm not saying that makes it that you can't do something, but the volumes are reasonable. I mean, Bonnie Bray had 600 vehicles. Clinton had 450. That's not a significant volume of traffic for a residential street. Greenfield, yeah, it's got 1,500 vehicles, but that's more to do with the structure of the neighborhood much as it does with cut-through. A portion of it's cut-through. I'm not saying it isn't, but you don't have streets going through the priory, so people have to come up and use that. Greenfield goes all the way across. It serves a school. It serves some other things. So it functions more like a collector road and carries a higher volume.
But what we want to do is try to calm that traffic, try to slow down the traffic, make sure pedestrians feel safe when they're crossing that street. More importantly, that you feel safe when you're riding your bike, and I understand. That's where we're suggesting it. We're kind of saying at the beginning of each block, both north and south. I mean, it may be a little overkill, but, you know, we're trying to show you, hey, let's get some signs up so people know. You know, what you want to do is give them those warnings, those cues of, you know, when you're driving through here, we got speed limits, we got pedestrians, we got so forth in here. The other thing you can do that we didn't recommend and you do in the village is put up the portable radar speed signs, you know. Do it, you know, you could put it on Greenfield, put permanent ones on there. And that one section, as you talked about, where you got a couple of the T intersections, and putting an all, instead of putting an all-way stop in, put two portables on each side or permanent. I mean, I personally know when I drive by one of those and I see that it's 25 and I may be going 30 because you just don't know the difference, I slow down, you know, and I think 90% of the people do. There's whatever you do, there's going to be 5 or 10% of the people that are just going to do what they want to do, unfortunately. 90-10 rule. But sir, I'm not. That's fair. All I'm telling you is we collected data. We collected daily traffic counts. Let me finish. Collected speeds. I'm not in the neighborhood as much as you. I totally agree. I know when I was teaching my daughter how to drive and she was driving a little slower, people would pass her. So you can cul-de-sac the whole neighborhood and people are still going to pass you at times. I mean, this is what happened. That's what.
Okay, so what I'd like to try to do is see if we can, again, handle this in a little bit of a structured way. Everybody gets a chance to comment, but, you know, in connection with some specific. Mike, thank you. Are you going to hang around?
Oh, yeah.
I'll okay, thank you. So thank you, Mike. Thank you to the neighbors. I know that, you know, just looking at the public comment, you know, there's some. I would say that there's some disagreements on whether we would take a cautious or a phased approach or whether we should do something more robust and how soon should we do something more robust. And, you know, what we struggle with on the commission is that we try to be responsive to the neighbors, but we also try to make recommendations that are to the extent we can based on data. We don't, these aren't hard and fast, and based on standards, these aren't hard and fast rules. You know, and generally we defer to the neighbors, and then, you know, when the neighbors have a view, we also try to make sure that the voices we're hearing are representing, you know, the large group of neighbors who are going to be affected, because as you can imagine, when you start to make changes on the block, those can affect, we try to be, you know, sensitive to all the, you know, what I'd like to do is observe more public comment now if we can until we hear from the commissioners who have had a chance to read all the public comments we've received, to read the study and the revised recommendations from KS to the commissioners comment. Generally, the way we work is we have, you know, for discussion, if there are any recommendations,
they'd have a vote. Things that we might recommend here are non-binding recommendations to the village board. We'll just tell you all, you know, one other kind of point of order or sort of process is that try to make sure that when we're making changes, this is kind of a tough one because this issue has been on the table for a long time. You know, it's been out there and the study's been published and you've all, you know, commented. And so I think we'll see how it goes tonight, but I know that or do we recommend? So I guess with that, I'd like to invite comments from the commissioner. Specific comments, but then I think having our proposals, and I think we ought to come back to the topic. So if we're working on green. So with that,
oh, I'm sorry.
No, go for it.
Okay.
Why don't you go first?
Yeah. Okay. So I like the idea of a phased approach, mostly because I just think it'll be easier to evaluate the effectiveness of what we do. You know, if we do everything all at once, then we'll have no way of really measuring which part was the most effective, and we won't know sort of what tools we can use in other parts of the village or whatnot. With respect to the presentation here, you know, between phase one, phase two, and phase three, I guess one thought that I have is, you know, maybe there is a way of combining phase one and phase three, since phase three is also predominantly signage. Maybe there's a way of throwing some of that signage up during phase one and see, you know, so I'm sort of backing off of what I said before, which is, you know, to do it in phases so we can measure the effectiveness. But nevertheless, I mean, as a gesture towards something a little bit maybe more dramatic a little earlier on, trying out some of these no left turn signs. But I think the second piece of it, no right turn signs. But I think the second piece of it is that, like, I'm really concerned that we don't have a good way of measuring the effect of this. And while I think that the observations of the people that live there are, you know, useful, I would also like to know quantitatively, what does limiting the ability to turn right on those streets do to the traffic on Jackson, or I mean on Lathrop? You know, what does it do to, you know, how big of a decrease do we see in traffic on these various places? And so, you know, as I've discussed before with Jeff, I think the idea of pulling data off the pole-mounted speed cameras is great. I mean, I think taking a look at what data is available on them, putting them in this neighborhood, you know, potentially moving them from where they are and putting some of them here and finding out what data is available to us from them would be hugely beneficial, because then we can put them up on Greenfield or Lemoyne or Bonnie Bray or wherever, and we can actually start collecting real measurements of traffic pre-changes and then post-incremental changes and then post-additional changes, and we can see what's the most effective, you know, both qualitatively and quantitatively.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I just wanted to bring up a couple of things. So, Fenwick parking we brought up.
So, hold on. Somebody order food?
Yes.
Sure.
Around it's on the south side of the building.
Oh, is that the fire department?
I apologize.
No worries.
You're supposed to say, drop it off here.
You guys didn't know how good these meetings can be.
Yeah, exactly. Free food.
So I'm looking at phase one, phase two, phase three, and we've been working. I mean, I've been here 15
17 years doing this, and I'm looking at signage, I'm looking at parking changes, and we've been working in business parking on North Avenue, and we've done a lot in the last many, many, many years to accommodate businesses, residents, so forth and so on. And I'm really not inclined to change parking on our residential streets or recommend it. Signage, I think in our experience, not a lot of people, unless it's blinking in your face, are really looking at signs. This is a lot of signs that are going up in the northwestern quadrant. Do like the bike paths on Greenfield. The kickouts, I think, I have biker friends on Chicago Avenue. They terrify them. I am... At this point, as I told some of you before who were here, Commissioner Gillis brought this problem up 10 years ago. We're getting to it. And we've heard from residents. We've heard from professionals. We're residents. I mean, I'm up there as well. And we have a major cut through problem that other neighborhoods have dealt with efficiently by shutting down traffic. So, with that being said, I'm of the opinion, humbly, that I think more of a drastic measure needs to be taken at this point in time. Because we've thought about it, we've heard about it, probably even done it, coming down North Avenue. West River Forest has shut down some of their streets, right, off of North Avenue. Nobody's getting in there. So, you know, with all this being said, I'm just thinking, I don't want to change all the parking going on in there, but I want to reduce traffic drastically, and I don't want to cut the bikers off at their knees by narrowing Greenfield. So with that being said, I'm inclined to listen to, you know, an incremental approach, but I'm also thinking, let's do something that just simply reduces traffic, but not cut off our businesses at their knees by eliminating parking 3-6 hours a day on North Avenue. I mean, that's a huge business corridor. It's great. It's safe right near us. So those are my thoughts. And then coming back to my first notation was the Fenwick parking issue, which we can take up probably Board versus Fenwick and that lot there. But that's kind of where I'm leaning, and I'm curious with what my other commissioners are thinking as well, because a lot of work has been done up there. Personally, I want to reduce traffic. I want to reduce the amount of cut-through traffic through the northeast corridor of River.
I know you've been thinking about on mention, so.
No, I'm sorry, Pat or Ron?
Everyone knows I'm the robust guy here. And although I do appreciate the revisions and all, I'm just not convinced that signs are going to keep the cutout traffic coming into River Forest. And I know when I was up there today and I ran into, I'll get it wrong, Mr. Armalis. Right.
Yeah.
You know, we had fun just standing there watching everyone turn left off of Harlem as we stood in front of his house. after 4 o'clock, and then actually a police officer did pull over someone, which was nice to see. And we were just commenting back and forth about the number of non-river... Yes, that was at Lemoyne right there. So this guy had turned left off of Harlem going on to Lemoyne. Yeah. During the no left turn time.
Right.
But anyway, so I'm listening to what everyone has said about signage. I have my own thoughts here that is very robust. I'll present that, and then after listening a few things, I'll make some revisions as well of my thoughts. And again, this is all going back to trying to keep out traffic from cutting through. I mean, that's the primary thing here. And I think if I were to ask everyone here to say one word, is it traffic? You know, is it people just coming through, right? The bog, the problems. They're all cutting through. Cutting through. But, okay, so starting with Lemoyne, and I'll just go down street by street, and then we can talk about it at a later point here. But on Lemoyne, I'm thinking on one way eastbound, going towards Harlem, starting at the alley. You know, we need to accommodate for everyone in the townhomes along there, and they can go in and out through that north-south alley that's behind their homes. Then you just have that half a block that would be one way, and then it would be right turn only, and that way no one can turn in, you know, with a diverter at the end or some other device, I guess, concrete traffic diverter. That way you can't sneak in left turn off of Harlem, and when you go out, you're going to have to turn right onto Harlem. There's no left turn there. And again, you know, just signage, you know, one way, do not enter. Harlem southbound signage, no right turn, one way, do not enter. Just very clear. At Greenfield, similar idea. Without the traffic, you know, let me back up. At Greenfield, maintain the current signage, no left turn from 7A to 9A and 4 to 6P. And, you know, I was looking at using those traffic deflections. I like that idea. And, you know, we need to consider the bicycle issue as well. So maybe that's something we don't do. But I do like, at least on Chicago and Lake Street, where we have those bump outs, they work. They really do work. They work. And that's it's a very wide road. This whole corridor is extremely wide. Now that's what gets me is how wide all your streets are. You know, you go south to Concordia and you go to William and it's about half the size of this room. You know, you get two cars and you can't get a third one up the middle. So you guys have got very wide streets there, which is part of the reason everyone can go so quickly. Okay, Bonnie Bray right there, Cassidy Tire and Yoke. I think we need to cul-de-sac that off so people can't turn right and cut through River Forest, that last stop before they get to the light there. And I was telling Doug earlier, it was very funny because I was standing there watching, and today they were putting a new roof on one of those buildings, and I'm sitting there, and everyone kind of goes running through to go whip down the alley. But then halfway down the alley was blocked off with dumpsters and trucks because they were taking the roof, and all these cars had to back out from their usual cut through there.
And Rick, just to clarify, I think under the phased approach that KLOA has is that you would put in the sort of the
narrowing,
the bump outs, the narrowing. You're suggesting
The alley, right there at the alley, and again that would allow the parking on Bonnie Bray there for Yoke on, you know, when they have customers, that would allow easy access into Cassidy Tire. Okay. If we were to put a no right turn there during certain hours, no one could turn into Cassidy Tire. Got to think about, you know, the two businesses there. Now going east at Clinton Place. West at Clinton Place. Again, from the alley, take it one way, just north to North Avenue. So, and again, you know, my first thought was, again, right turn out only, no right turn into River Forest. That would allow people to come in, park in those two spots on both sides, but still be able to exit onto North Avenue. They just can't turn left. And no one can enter onto Clinton Place. Same thing with William Street.
Wait, what is Clinton Place? So there's no cul-de-sac on Clinton Place, right?
Correct. It would just be a right turn only going north from the alley.
Yep.
So we're talking, you know, 100 feet or so. Would be one way going north, right on the North Avenue.
Okay.
But you're also suggesting that it's one way northbound only between the alley and North Avenue, correct?
Correct.
He's over on the...
We're on Clinton.
So block west.
But, yeah. But Cassidy Tire would be a full call.
But there are other businesses there at Clinton.
There are. There are. Oh.
There's a dentist office or an
you've got Mint
office
there.
On the west side.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and also they've got parking in front of their businesses right now. Well, no, on North Avenue there's parking. And you have parking on Clinton Place on the east and west side. So they wouldn't be able to get in without going down through, you know, from Lathrop to Greenfield to whatever. Right? Or they park in front of the business. Behind there, I think my observation is probably employees. You know, that alley has a lot of employee parking behind all those businesses. Employees would be able to easily access everything through the alley to their usual parking.
We haven't gotten there.
Greenfield in Harlem?
Oh, you weren't there.
Yeah.
He said keep current signage, but I thought you were off of any other.
Right. At Greenfield, I think that's something we could do more of a phased approach. I'll just, you know, I'm laying it out for discussion. We can talk about it in a minute. Okay, so Clinton, William is going to be the same thing. From the alley north, now it's a little bit different there because of the school, at the Montessori school on the left side, but from the alley north would be one way only, North Avenue with the diverter, right turn only. And from North Avenue, no one could turn into William, either a right turn in or from westbound a left turn in. Again, it'd just be one way just for those few hundred feet. Okay, that could present a little bit of an issue for the school, but they'd have to figure out, you know, a new drop-off point. I think they go through the through their parking lot and make the loop now to drop off their kids. Okay. And, you know, as far as Jackson and Monroe, I think we can leave them as they are right now. You know, Monroe's part of, you know, allowing the both Jackson and Monroe for crush time. You know, so we don't want to slow down the business there. As far as parking, right.
You didn't.
No, that's basic. Well, and then, you know, just some of the other things I think, you know, the recommendations earlier, you know, the 20-mile-per-hour signs I think make sense. The high-vis crossing, you know. Stop signs at William.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask about, Rick, because you didn't mention, but I just record, I guess. We can talk about this separately, but going back to the KLOA recommendations, there was installing an all-way, at least for us to consider an all-way at William and Lemoyne, and changing at Lemoyne and Clinton a two-way with a restriction that would best flow and be more consistent in the village. So
right.
And also an all way at Greenfield and Bonnie Blue. And then we got to crosswalk. Then you're with respect to assume that everybody's in crosswalks, but we stop signs, as I all way at William and Lemoyne, two way at Lemoyne and
with what was recommended.
What I would like to do is maybe we can take these in turn order, but I think rather than just have a free-for-all, see if we could just order, maybe start with
one quick question.
Yeah, go ahead, Arun.
I think we can look at the generic request, but since we have multiple people from Greenfield, I'm assuming.
What if we take Lemoyne and then Greenfield?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Address theirs first and then look at the total generic.
Yeah. So why don't we take, if we can, let's take the request, the suggestion about Lemoyne, and we'll go to Greenfield. Lemoyne, at least one recommendation is one way eastbound, starting from the alley, little diverter like we have at Forest North.
Yes. So it's, I think the correct term is right turn only diverter. Not a pork chop, right? I learned what a pork chop is.
Like
that's
right out only.
Right, yeah. Out only.
And for point of reference, I think it's exactly what exists right now northbound at Forest.
Correct.
And it's also eastbound on Quick. So why don't we start with that? And that's obviously, you know, the KLOA study identified some people that were flouting the rule and turning left anyway. I know you have all observed it happening. Rick talked about you and Bob being there and seeing it today, right? So anyway, why don't we see if there's any question on that particular. Comment one way or the other.
Would we start with a temporary one, or would we just build out of concrete to start?
Well, we could make any recommendation we want, and again, whatever we would recommend, that it would go to the village board, and they would decide if they're willing to be on something more permanent.
Mr. Chairman, and along with Davis, is there a temporary solution? I mean, is there a temporary type bump out, so to speak, rather than putting a concrete one in right away? Is there such an animal that exists?
I don't know if there's any kind of cookie cutter thing. You know, we could truck that out of bollards or some jersey barriers or something like that. Our ones are left standing, apparently. So yes, I do think that's something we could, or if, yeah, especially, I mean, if the bollards are something that the commission likes, then that's a temporary solution that you all feel would be effective and something we'd want to try. That would be a workable solution.
And then we would be able to see, before we spend thousands for a concrete bump out or pork chop or whatever, if it's really effective. I mean, unfortunately, the bicycles, we're going to have bicycles no matter what. But they don't go speeding at 60 miles an hour down the street. We're trying to make it safe.
Well, and I would argue with, if we do, at least on a temporary basis, use bollards, we could always space those off the curb enough for bicycles to get safely without enough space.
And the bollards could be put up in the fall now, where the concrete would have to wait till the spring.
That brings up a good point, though. Sorry. One thing I think that we had talked about with the Chicago Avenue bollards, and we did this at
Washington and Keystone, that those were seasonal, and those are going to get removed in the winter for plowing operations. So, operation with this, I think.
Can we put signage on Harlem?
There already is signage now.
I mean, can River Forest put...
yeah, I mean, those turn restrictions are our local restrictions
okay.
coming up Harlem or North Avenue.
North Avenue, okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you mind just giving us your name, and we don't have to make you stand. Okay, and you have a comment on Lemoyne? Okay. What we're talking about. Do you mind going up to the mic?
Yeah, I'm.
And if you don't mind, just for the record, give us your name again and do you live up there?
Renee Hermes, 1446 Bonnie Bray, so Bonnie
okay.
Bray and Lemoyne.
Thank you.
We see the cops pulling people every day in front of our house because that left turn signage it's not extremely effective, and probably by the police records, you'll see how many people get pulled over, but a lot of the people in that area feel that a cul-de-sac is appropriate for the Lemoyne and Harlem, and that's the northeast entrance to River Forest. That's where most of the cut through, all the people coming north from Harlem, they make a left. Because of North Avenue, how narrow it becomes.
So with this recommendation, nobody's coming into or onto Lemoyne from Harlem, either northbound or southbound.
Yes.
But we're giving the residents the ability to drive out of the neighborhood, take a right southbound on Harlem. There's no coming into the neighborhood.
Okay.
At Lemoyne. So it's not completely cut off, but you can only exit.
You can just exit.
You can
exit.
And then again, thinking out loud, if we shut down the traffic from Lemoyne at North Avenue, that's going to decrease traffic flow. I mean, I understand. I grew up by Austin and Taylor, Chicago and Taylor, where they... You know, West Side was not getting in the Oak Park, and they called it, and they shut down everything, and it was very effective. And that's, I think that's what you're leading to, but and it's a good point
because that northeast corner is where you know the lights at Harlem and North. That's that major intersection, and that's the northeast corner of River Forest. And that's like when I want to turn to my house, I'd rather go to the light. Light is on like two streets.
Division,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, but you're representing your view and
I'm
a view that may be shared by others in your area that would like a cul-de-sac. Do you know if those people that you've at least talked to considered the alternative that Rick identified, which was a more semi-permanent solution that would allow people to exit and turn right, but it wouldn't allow people to turn onto Lemoyne from Harlem either direction, north or south.
I would be also happy with that. But that's my view. We put together a presentation that you can later read if you like.
Well, and that's certainly what we're trying to address here is recognizing that, again, to affect one block, you know, what's the likely effect on the neighboring block? Are there any other comments on the proposal at on the table, at least at Rick's point and Harlem?
That on Avenue, it's very narrow. It spills out onto Harlem. You're not going to make a left turn, Harlem going north onto Quick.
So let me ask a question. Did entertain a motion on this point right now?
I'll read an official motion then. How's this? Moon Parkway, one way east.
I'll give you a copy of this, Jeff. You
I got
to write it down.
One way eastbound from Alley to Harlem. At Harlem, right turn only, southbound Harlem, with a traffic diverter, Ballards or concrete, however. Eastbound signage, stop sign, right turn only. Harlem northbound signage, one way, do not enter. Harlem southbound signage, no right turn, one way, do not enter.
A second. Question before.
Yes. All right. I just want to reemphasize that this is going to probably, like he said, have traffic go down Bonnie Bray now, cut through, and then go down Greenfield.
What if Bonnie Bray is cut off?
So what if let me. It's a fair. It's
then
a fair
then
point.
Then that's okay.
So we're going to
step by step.
Right.
And they're coming from Iowa, so you know we got to take this, you know, one step at a time.
How about allowing
so, I think we know what you want, and I think as a commission, what we're doing here is attempting to give you guys what you want.
I know you are.
On specifically Lemoyne at Harlem.
What's your request at Lemoyne to block it off completely? Well, that was already presented also by your neighbor. So I guess
I think so much to say about how do they have access to their parking lot?
Yeah, Lemoyne.
But if we cut off, I mean, I think the problem is that the number of cars isn't going to decrease. And if we cut off these, then, you know, 3 months from now, it's going to be folks further west coming to the meeting saying, well, everybody's driving through our neighborhood now to get to Fenwick, right?
Is it Bob, right? Yeah. If you don't mind keeping it brief, take the mic and tell us what your proposal is.
And I just want to remind everyone, even with this one, with the motion on the table, remember, we're shutting down most of the cars turning off of North Avenue, and we're shutting off cars turning left Harlem.
Right. And
okay, so in theory, this should reduce traffic dramatically, at least to cut through. Now to cut through, you're going to have to either go down Lathrop, you're going to have to go down Jackson, or you're going to have to go down Monroe. If that's what we find, then we can address those last two streets, the solution there. You know, but we didn't want to address them now because of fresh time.
Yeah.
But so, there's ideas for fresh time. But, you know, let's take, again, it's an aggressive piecemeal, if you will, here.
So if you would hit the highlights of your presentation, and then listen, what we're going to do is we're going to make some recommendations tonight. They're non-binding recommendations, and if any of you don't like them, or any of your neighbors don't like them, or any of the businesses don't like them, then the next step is. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, first thing I'd like to say, Commissioner Gillis, I don't disagree with you 100%. We talked about this today, and we're on the same page. We want to get down experience. All these streets are not that it's a calm, nice situation. It's like a vehicle rodeo in there. When we originally started this, we believed, group of us believed that the only effective way to cut to fix this is to block both intersections at Greenfield and Lemoyne. Sounds radical, but not so radical. I think it's going to safety, environment, property values, it's going to create recreational space, improve the standard of living for all the people, for the residents of Harlem to Thatcher. I think it's going to effectively cut off the cut through from that whole area. I think at the same time, it provides a cost savings to the whole village. The scope of the work would be just what I said, close off the two intersections. Downside would be some Harlem to Clinton residents would be inconvenienced. To travel a little bit more to get to Harlem. We calculated that at worst as two blocks further than present. We also think that there'll be some volume changes that are expected due to resident rerouting. We think this will be minimally noticed. We counted 420 parking spots in the area from Harlem Clinton, and that's compared to the thousands of cut-throughs. So we don't think that's going to be that bad. What it does not do does not eliminate the north-south cut-through from North Avenue beyond Greenfield on Williams, Jackson, Monroe, and Lathrop. I think it'll cut down on it, but it's you're headed towards Division or beyond, it's not going to do that. The upside of this is it eliminates 90% of cut through. Basically, from Harlem to Thatcher, Greenfield, North Avenue. It eliminates all those bad driving behavior and all those people coming through. It does not affect parking or access North Avenue businesses. We felt that emergency response noticed our observation has been, and of course we'd have to ask, but our observation has been that the River Forest Police and Fire always approached from the west. Never seen them approach from Harlem. The other upside is William Street residents and west travel no further than currently to access Harlem. They don't have to go one inch out of their way. So talking about three blocks. We think this will also decrease the traffic in front of St. Vincent School. This was brought up at the last meeting that all these people are going to go in front of the school. In fact, we also think it's going to reduce some of the traffic on Lathrop because these people simply aren't going to be coming to Greenfield and Lemoyne on Lathrop to get through. They might still be going to Division, but I think the people who want to ride along North Avenue, and there's this whole flow of traffic that flows parallel to North Avenue, Division starts getting further and further out of their way. So we think it'll take the traffic down there. As far as the cut through, just wanted to point out that environmentally, 1,000 cut through vehicles a day and annually adds up to 356,000 cars a year. It's a lot of pollution. So I think we could all breathe easier.
Right.
We think that by reducing the easy in and out of the neighborhood, have an effect on crime. Getting in and out easy makes easy pickings for criminals. Of course, less trips by cars. Eliminates the reduces the probability of accidents for pedestrians, cyclists, motorists. The plan creates new recreational space because there'll be some bed space between the alleys and Harlem. And quite frankly, in those townhouses and apartments, there's a lot of kids there. It's affordable housing. We watch them playing in the alley. Creates a great space. It's dead space without cars. It's close by. Parents can watch their kids play. Good space. We also think that the streets, especially between Harlem and Clinton, will be safe for children to bike on. I think those wide streets, we can turn those wide streets into our asset by, again, using complete street solutions. Bike, pedestrian, and car. The fiscal benefits are this, of this are closure will eliminate or reduce current police fire expenditures responding to the following: no left turn violations on Harlem, violent and frequent accidents at both those closed intersections, stop sign violations, truck violations. All these other proposals we've seen are police dependent. These aren't. And I think quiet streets and recreational areas improve property value. Bring back the 1,000 cars daily. Annually, that amounts to 700,000 tons going across those streets. So we spend a lot of money on the streets. Here's the risk. The initial closure can use precast medium closures. Not like bump outs, not permanent concrete work. Can be implemented on a trial basis. Don't like it, take it out. So I strongly, and a group of us, strongly recommend take a strong look at this. It's,
and your proposal, your suggestion, both Lemoyne and Greenfield?
No, I just called the fact I'm at Harlem.
But right at Harlem, not even at the alley?
Right. Leave the dead space for a recreational area.
It's both streets, Lemoyne and Greenfield.
Right. I would rather not close down both streets. To me, we looked at this over the years, and I would rather not do it, but I just know if you leave a hole here, cars are going to find it, and driving behaviors terrible.
So not to get hung up on the rules of order, but I guess what I'd suggest is that there's a motion right now on Mr. Gillis's recommendation to restrict the traffic the way he recommended on Lemoyne. That doesn't mean that there couldn't also be a motion to take up your request. That could effectively override the request that's on the table. If there's a motion to cul-de-sac at Lemoyne or Greenfield, we can enter.
I didn't say I didn't like what Mr. Gillis is doing, or Commissioner Gillis, I should say, because we discussed this, and I know he's trying to do the best. I just say we just looked at this and years, and just feel this has just a lot of upside, and the upside goes all the way from Harlem to Thatcher. We've seen people cut down Greenfield all the way to Thatcher.
Okay.
And it's cheaper. It's just flat out cheaper to do this. Questions, I guess.
If we were to do what's on the table now, with my recommendation, right, and finding that's not working, then there's something I think we can talk about. And again, you know, getting the information from the residents. Do you think this one works? And we can leave it as, you know, I'm looking at escape routes getting out. Then we can always cul-de-sac down the line, so we can do a little incremental.
Right.
You know,
I think the simplicity of this one is you're only doing two. and you're blocking all the rest. That's, I think, the beauty of this. It is a little bit of inconvenience, but this area between Harlem and Clinton will see, really see the streets quiet down. It's really going to become a nice area for children and, kids to play on the street, and really going to give us a property bump up.
Well, what I'd like to suggest is that we have a motion on the table. Why don't we see if what the support is for that motion, and then if anybody wants to take up a more severe restriction on Lemoyne. I'd like to see if we can move through some of these other recommendations involving these other streets done by 9:30.
Can I make a quick comment before
sure.
we do this?
Yeah.
So, we're talking amongst ourselves as drastic measures as compared to the recommendations by KLOA. And with that, we also have room to work. Like Commissioner Gillis said, if the turnout doesn't work, if we decide to close off Bonnie Bray, Clinton, and then William in one way or another, we still have more drastic measures, which could then be Lemoyne. By closing it off,
I will tell you, if you have lines of people to stay on North Avenue, because then they realize it's going to be faster to go North Avenue to Harlem.
And then yeah. My last point before we go into this motion is Greenfield is a different animal. It's a wide street. Fenwick needs access to their new land. They need access to their existing land. Where is a bus going to go if it's pointed down Greenfield? Let's say they do have to come around William, take a right, and then they're going west down Greenfield, and it's dead. We can't have buses. I mean, they approach from the west, and they probably leave on Harlem. The buses don't they don't just turn around.
Now talking about Greenfield, right?
Right. Okay. I just wanted to bring. That's a different animal. I like closing off up here, and I like closing off here. That makes sense. Maybe down the road. But again, everything leads to Greenfield, no matter what you do.
Right.
Everything leads to Greenfield.
I'd like to have a vote on the Lemoyne motion, and then we can go to Greenfield next.
I think we got to go down North Avenue.
Do that too. I don't care what.
Greenfield's an animal.
Let's have a vote on the Lemoyne.
All right. So just to be clear, again, this is Lemoyne. The motion on the table is essentially one-way eastbound from the alley to Harlem, with the right out only onto southbound Harlem, and then all the associated signage changes. So, Chairman Reed.
Yes.
Phyllis.
Yes.
Wait. Here. Ramen.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
Yes. Are you suggesting, John, that we table Greenfield for the moment?
I think
one of the
other
proposals.
I think going down North Avenue.
Why don't we start at Bonnie Bray? Mm-hmm. Why don't we, so Rick had a proposal for Bonnie Bray. Why don't you go ahead and...
Yeah, Bonnie Bray, that's what I mean, down North Avenue.
Okay, so why don't you,
let's have Rick repeat his proposal on Bonnie Bray.
Bonnie Bray, cul-de-sac Bonnie Bray, north of the alley, just south of North Avenue. Parking restrictions remain the same. Full business access remains the same for Cassidy Tire and parking for Yoke.
And let's see if there's a second, then we can have discussion. Guys, for lack of a second.
A second.
Okay. Pat, you have a question.
Run Bonnie Bray south of the
Well, but he, well, the recommendation is that the cul-de-sac is north of the alley. So
you wouldn't be able to get up.
You'd have to.
Well, looking at the townhomes that are along there, you have some residents, you know, single family, and you have some townhomes.
Right.
So
on both sides of Bonnie.
Right. On Bonnie Bray, and, you know, the alley actually is the access for the townhomes. Parking's back there.
Okay.
So if you could go down that alley behind Cassidy Tire, turn right and get to Harlem that way.
Okay.
Okay. The residents, the townhome residents, would be able to either from their homes go right onto Harlem or go left and down Bonnie Bray to get out that way through the alley.
So your proposal is
north of the alley. So the alley is still wide open. And again, for the businesses that are there, a lot of their parking is off the alley. So their employees would still be able to get into, not Cassidy, but going westbound, those businesses, their parking is off the alley.
So my concern on that, Rick,
for employees,
is that if the cul-de-sac, I guess I was contemplating a proposed cul-de-sac south of the alley, which would allow people to turn right up to North Avenue and use those businesses sort of without restriction, including they have access to the alley. The other choice is the proposed cul-de-sac is north of the alley. It doesn't allow people from North Avenue to access the alley, but it does give that as an exit.
How do residents come down the alley and then they run a cul-de-sac and you go north?
No, they would pass. They would run. They would pass the cul-de-sac.
They'd have to go to the next street.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So they'd have to turn on Clinton Place.
Yeah.
And go north.
Mm-hmm. So there'd be no way to get in.
Yeah. Correct. So what Doug's saying would be for those who've gone to the UPS store in Oak Park,
mm-hmm.
then you go down and you go through no through traffic.
Yep.
On the alley,
yep.
behind those businesses, turn right behind the synagogue there, and you head down to, it's just a building there. That's further down the synagogue. It would be similar to that if you were to put it south of the alley.
South of the alley.
I agree.
If you put it north, you're blocking.
But then people could effectively.
They could cut through.
They could take a right.
Are you?
But then they can take a left down the alley and then a right and go right behind Bonnie Bray, between Bonnie Bray and Harlem, and take that alley two blocks south.
So Rick, are you?
They could, but it'd be too much.
Well, they could, but it's very thin.
Right.
Two, we could have speed bumps on that alley. Mm. As an option. And I guess to what Doug said is from a Cassidy Tire standpoint, at least their trucks, if they had to, could go down that alley to get out. I'm just saying that that's an option as far as, again, cut through. But the cut through is through the alley and not into
So, yeah, going back to the KLOA study, you know, I think the concept of traffic, there are ancillary effects, including potential effects on the businesses, as well as Rick, am I hearing you into amending your motion to, if there is a cul-de-sac south of the alley instead of north of the alley?
Yes, I would like to amend it to be south of the alley.
Well, I'm seconding it anyway, so.
Did you second it?
I did. Well, we both seconded it. No, he did, but I'm seconding the amended motion. So, you know, he can argue with that.
My only comment is, off North Avenue can get to the alley.
If the cul-de-sac is south of the alley, they'd be able to use North Avenue to access the businesses and the alley directly behind the businesses.
I mean, could we put up a, we're gonna do the, if we do this, we're doing a temporary cul-de-sac anyway, right, to see how it works. We're not going to pour concrete right away. So we could try both, right? I mean, we could try both.
Dead end sign.
Parking spots.
Oh, and then I don't know if I and I think Bob might have mentioned it.
No, the parking would still be there. So they have their parking. They correct
come in through. Coming west, and then they park. No, I'm just saying, yeah. They can park on Bonnie Bray still by going north on Bonnie Bray and parking at the end of the block for the cul-de-sac.
Well, they have to. Yeah. There's no parking on the southbound Bonnie Bray there.
No, correct.
So they have to go northbound anyway to park. And then North Avenue still has two-hour parking for all those businesses.
More discussion on this particular amended motion is, go ahead, Rick.
Oh, amended motion now is Bonnie Bray, cul-de-sac Bonnie Bray south of the alley, just south of North Avenue. Parking restrictions remain the same. Full business access for Iron Yoke,
I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Commissioner Gillis.
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed.
Yes.
Arrow.
Yes.
Commissioner Osgood.
Yeah. Let's go to Clinton. And Rick, I heard your motion to be
a little different, though. Clinton Place. One-way northbound, talk about it, from the alley to North Avenue. And we just say south of the alley. One-way northbound from south of the alley to North Avenue. North Avenue, right turn only, eastbound North Avenue. A traffic diverter. Northbound signage, stop, right turn only. North Avenue eastbound signage, no right turn, one way do not enter. North Avenue
westbound signage, one way, do not enter, and then the parking restrictions remain the same. And this will, again, by going south of the alley, allow access completely behind those businesses.
But, Rick, can I just clarify? Are you suggesting a diverter that would preclude people who are driving eastbound turning right onto Clinton Place?
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I screwed up.
No, but then people that work at those buildings from the west wouldn't be able to.
Well, that's
get
my concern.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm asking for clarification.
Yeah.
Because I, at least personally, Rick, I think we need to allow people to walk to the alley at Clinton, just like we talked about at
Bloomberg. Okay. So do we do? Well, again, do we do? Do we call the Sackett? Is what you're saying, like Bonnie Bray? Where the businesses have full access.
Bonnie Bray was changed to the
closest
deck on the south edge of the
alley. Okay, that's not what I talked about.
I thought you were
talking. Yeah, but you know what? If we do, or so do we call the SAC Clinton as well in the same manner? You know what? I'm going to propose that. But alternatively, we could. But you're still getting all the North Avenue traffic in with those. But they're not going to your neighborhood. They're going to some other neighborhood.
Right.
They're going to go down William to Division. And William, based on your results, that one had a 38 mile per hour speed, average speed. But your solution, respectfully, is just Harlem at this moment. All you're stopping is traffic off of Harlem.
And all those cars that are turning off.
No,
right,
but
your proposal, at least what I heard, Bob, is I didn't hear your proposal. Maybe I missed it. You didn't address any restriction on North Avenue. So you said. Your view is if it's already closed off at Greenfield, good people from. Okay, just want to make sure I understand what you're saying.
Can I ask sort of a general question, which is, what is the, is there a big functional difference? I mean, in terms of trying to stop cut through traffic, couldn't we just do Bonnie Bray one way south of the alley, Clinton one way south of the alley heading north? And doesn't that basically solve the cut through problem without preventing Renee from getting to work? Because, I mean, then the residents could still exit onto North Avenue,
right?
But people couldn't come in, and instead of it being a cul-de-sac, it would just be a one-way do not enter sign.
Well, yeah,
well,
let me
come back.
Yeah, no, well, back. I mean, you know, unfortunately,
yeah.
He's gonna have to go around the block.
All of those. I guess my question on all these restrictions with respect to allowing eastbound traffic to turn south onto Clinton or any of these streets is the impact on the business. To those, and you know, I suppose again, if we were to go with an incremental approach, hard to know, and I don't know what KLOA might, you know, maybe mainly in phase three, and I don't know if we need more. We can open up, allow people to use North Avenue and to Harlem. They now know that they can't cut through. Not going to be. Hey, they, you know, already passed Clinton Place. Or B, you've opened up the turn lane so they can turn right. Well, no, but increasing the flow could be in people's interest, because if the flow is held up, that's what causes people to cut through. Well, look at
that. In our motion for Bonnie Bray with the cul-de-sac, we put it south of the alley, so as you drive down the alley, do you use the alley? Have a driveway onto because the alleys can get out.
Right.
So
I'm going to leave, but thank you, everybody. Excellent suggestion. The only thing I'm worried about on that one is someone's going to come down North Avenue making a right, thinking they can do it, and then they're going to get down there and realize they can't get out.
We know that.
But then they're going to circle around and come back out your neighborhood. So I don't I'm not here to argue. I'm just saying.
How long was that last one?
No, it is, but there's people who's doing it all the time for the first time, and they're not going to realize it. So you can do it with signage. You can say no outlet. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just pointing out that there may be the issue that they come down and they realize they can't get out. So that's all I wanted to say. It's a good suggestion, but just wanted to throw that in there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. So, you know, right now the issue on the table is Clinton. And I guess the question is, you know, some options include A, doing nothing, B,
putting some kind of restriction one way, or, you know, right turn only onto North Avenue, but then that would have the effect of preventing people from turning right from North Avenue to access there, or see a similar cul-de-sac that we proposed for Bonnie Bray at Clinton Place. Some of the options, not to say that.
And we're not supposed to jump ahead, but I will just for a moment. When you look at the numbers, William's really the issue, meaning they're turning right off of that. They're going down William to Division or to Greenfield, and then they're turning right. There's a lot more traffic on William than there is on Clinton. Yeah. Right, right. They're doing Lemoyne. They're doing Greenfield. But Greenfield is pretty hot, too, as far as, because that's a straight route going William down. You know, and then you either turn left in Lemoyne or you turn. Greenfield gets you further down. It's easier to get out on Harlem at Greenfield than it is on Lemoyne. Right, right. Yeah, and again, you know, sitting there today probably in front of, you know, your guys' house, now, I just sat there and watched all these cars come whipping down William and then turn right and then whip down right on there. So do we do something a little more aggressive on William? I'm just going to put that out. And do we perhaps leave Clinton alone for right now? I don't know. But will people figure out Clinton's a new racetrack?
Whatever we do at William, whatever they want. I just think we have a restriction at Forest, which is entirely residential. We have a restriction at Quick, which is entirely residential. In these areas, they're a mix of. It just seems to me that we need to come up with a compromise that can accommodate the businesses that are in that quadrant while also trying to accommodate neighbors. Or try to restrict or prevent.
I mean, allow
neighbors to get out. And so you're trying to allow people to get out, but you're also trying to restrict coming in. And
I mean, the goal should be to do as little as possible to solve the problem.
Right.
Right. And so I'm kind of in favor of doing, you know, just the things that we've talked about thus far, and seeing what happens. And I mean, I get that means that we're going to wait. It means that we're going to wait a little longer, and the problem will persist. You know, it may persist for longer, but it may not, or it may change. Right, right. But we, right. And so the problem may persist, but it may not, and we'll be able to evaluate it and then, you know, go from there.
And maybe call this. Well, and he, yeah. Okay. I'm gonna make a proposal for these two streets. Yeah.
I'm going to put something on the table here, and we can talk about it. So at Clinton Place, cul-de-sac at just south of the alley, and parking remains the same place, and then all the businesses have full access at alley. Two-way traffic would be north of the alley, the cul-de-sac for the residents on Clinton Place.
Very much like
just like Bonnie Bray.
Bonnie Bray.
That way, all the businesses have full access, parking and parking behind their trucks can get into the alley.
And you think, Rick, the cul-de-sac? Parking south Clinton, but not completely.
Could do, okay.
Could do the large planner that people could, well, actually, I like this. As opposed to a full cul-de-sac, let's just use your planner idea, whatever the product is that they put there. Southbound traffic cannot continue south past the alley, but northbound traffic can get out on the north.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's not the racing; it's the traffic volume. We're trying to keep
traffic out. Period.
Trying to keep traffic out. So, if I'm trying to cut through into River Forest to avoid the light, suddenly it's I have a planter there and a do not enter sign. But you can get to work very easily turning right onto Clinton Place and exit.
How is, you know, what we're suggesting now is that similar LOA had kind of like this. Both of those might be benefit of restricting flow without actually putting in a.
I don't think.
That's what I'm asking. I'm just making sure.
But this way, residents can get out on the North Avenue easily. Businesses have full access. But if you're turning right to cut through, on the right-hand lane, there's a block of some sort, power box, a do not enter sign. One lane wide going out.
Well, temporarily, it's going to be a piece of steel,
right,
with a do not enter sign.
Right.
And then the other half of the street is
yeah, it'd be Ballard's on the west side.
But the proposal, as I'm hearing it, is try to have something that's a might have a big planter or something that looks nice. Salutary benefit of traffic, but allowing. Yeah, however we
braille. Yeah, but again, we can put in the plastic.
Temporary solution.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that all time.
I mean, I think that's to Dave's point. I think the idea here is that
we're trying to be responsive, come up with some, you know, solutions and then stop at a point so we can assess what are the effects.
Oh, it is. Well, you're going to have Jackson and Monroe, you will be able to turn in there. We don't want them in. That's the problem.
We got that. We understand.
Okay.
I'm saying we have to move. I'm not suggesting we have.
Yeah. Give me 2 seconds.
I like it, but. We've only passed Lemoyne, and we passed Bonnie. Well, so you're saying, while you're dressing that up, Rick, I mean,
it is a concern. I mean, so obviously we're suggesting and proposing some things that go beyond what KLOA suggested, and I think, you know, maybe we come back to this suggestion. Why don't we let Rick make his motion? But I think if we go forward with these motions tonight, wherever we stop, notice is going to be to the neighbors and affected businesses that this is going to be taken up, whether it's at the next board meeting or the one after. In my view, consistent, I think, with what you're saying, Rune, at least, need to make sure that there's sufficient notice that goes out and sufficient time for people, if they want to come to the board meeting and the objection or speak in favor of it, then there's time for them to get that notice and do it. The alternative is we make these recommendations, we put the notice out, and we push this to another meeting, to the next meeting here. So that's I guess, a procedural point that we could take up maybe before we close this evening. Sending these to the board right now, or do we all feel like, in fairness, we need to give it, one more round here, so that if affected want to come and speak for or against, they have the opportunity to do so.
Well, my opinion is, in the newsletter, last 6 months plus, when they talked about we put out notice that, input into the study. Out notice at the first meeting in July, out notice about this in the newsletter and every other communication that we have. I think we've supplied my opinion. And
I think it's time to start kicking this up.
Yeah.
So Rick, do you have a revised motion?
Okay. So
Clinton. So we're on Clinton.
Talking about Clinton. I'm gonna put something out for Clinton here.
Right now, Rick's going to make a proposal on Clinton.
Yeah. Okay, so on Clinton, southbound, there will be a dead end, Allards or other device, just south of the alley. A do not enter sign. Northbound traffic can flow out onto North Avenue and turn left or right there as.
So it would be, yes, it's different. So it would basically be on the western lane.
The western lane would be blocked. Eastern lane will allow you to go northbound. And this is south of the alley. So, again, for the businesses, you can turn into Clinton. In either business, you can go left or right, whichever one you're going to office off the top of my.
Correct.
Yes, it is. Correct.
Yep. Okay.
That's the motion.
Second. Any further discussion on this motion?
The only thing I would say. Oh, sorry.
Now, keep your mic on, just don't yell right into it.
Don't swallow it.
There you go.
The only thing I would say is that I don't think we should do more than two things. I think we should do Bonnie Bray, and I think we should do Lemoyne, and I think we should figure out a way to collect data on how much traffic there is today on Monroe and Williams and Clinton and Lemoyne and Greenfield, and we should continue to collect that data and make these changes and then compare it to the data after it. Because otherwise, we're making it based completely on anecdotal evidence, which is not invaluable. It's just not all there is to consider. I don't know that we have to spend a lot of money collecting it, but nevertheless, that's a
fair point. Is that, so, Arun, you're sort of in that camp.
Yeah, I think because.
And I just don't want to. I just don't want to do something.
Make it one more.
Sure, but then again, I mean.
Okay. So what I'm hearing at least from Dave and Arun, not to speak for you, you guys are. There's a second on this motion. We're having a discussion on it. You guys are expressing a view that you would rather the pause button on Clinton.
No.
My view is I'd hit the.
Okay, then you're not quite in line with
Clinton. Let's collect some data.
But you're speaking in favor of Rick's proposal for Clinton Place, and Dave, you're suggesting let's tap the brakes on Clinton. Let's do Bonnie Bray and Lemoyne, and then see what happens.
That would be my preference.
Okay. Arun, I don't mean to speak for you. Is that you're basically in favor of what Rick proposed, and then you're generally in favor of Dave. You're saying, let's tap the brakes after Clinton.
No, let's.
And for the avoidance of that, like, I'm in favor of cul-de-sacking anywhere that we want to or, you know, desire
you're
to.
Just
as long, I just would like to look at some data to know exactly where the traffic will go or if it goes anywhere. You know, if people can bypass River Force completely, great. I just don't know if that's going to happen. And I just, when everybody from Lathrop marches in here next time demanding to know why on earth we recommended what we recommended, I'd like to be able to say, you know.
Because
every
time
we
see this, right?
Right.
The guy who does the review says, it will be like, that's too
much. Yeah.
This morning. And he'll be like, I have data. They'll be like, no.
No, that sounds familiar. Pat, did you have a question or comment on Rick's proposal on Clinton?
No.
John, do you have any comment on Rick's proposal on Clinton?
Comment on the data collection. I'm pretty much done with data collection. We've heard from the neighbors. I'd like to go and kick it upstairs and then have more than six people sitting here. And the board could listen to it. They're obviously smarter than we are. And, you know, we can take it from there.
At least in Rick's house.
Chairman, I'm sorry.
No, please.
But got these three proposals or motions. Assuming this one passes, can we not just move those three up to the board?
Well, let's have a vote.
Oh.
I guess I just wanted to solicit any other comments on Rick's motion. If there aren't any, I think it's time to vote on Rick's, and then let's take up whether we're going to take up anything else tonight or not.
We'll
talk about Rick's motion.
So again, this is at Clinton, essentially a partial cul-de-sac that blocks southbound traffic off of North Avenue, but still allows northbound traffic to go through at the south edge of the alley. And that is essentially it. So Chairman Reese. Oh, sorry.
Respective signage.
Of course. Chairman Reese.
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, not here. Commissioner Jay Robin?
Yes.
Arrow?
No.
Commissioner Oscar?
Yes.
Okay.
So that motion carries. So right now, as Pat said, there are three motions that right now would go up to the village board on a non-binding basis, and we'll figure out the appropriate notice to the residents so that they could attend the village board meeting to speak for or against. Is there appetite tonight to take up another street or intersection? Well, we could probably deal with that pretty. I mean,
I'm in favor of that.
Leaving aside other bigger restrictions that we're talking about, can we at least maybe that's a good idea? Can we at least get on the table the changes in the stop signs that KLOA recommended? And that is, I would make a motion that we support KLOA's recommendation that we put an all-way stop sign at William and Lemoyne. I guess I don't want to overstate it. It wasn't their recommendation. It was that the suggestion that it was something we can, a recommendation that we consider. That was a consideration of an always stop sign at William and Lemoyne, always stop sign at Greenfield and Bonnie Bray, and changing the existing two-way stop at Lemoyne and Clinton so that the stop stops traffic on Clinton. So I would move that we adopt those three.
One motion.
Well, that's fine. Why don't we see if there's a second, and then we'll have a discussion, and we'll up to any other. Comment. Do you want to go ahead and speak to go ahead? What's your name, by the way?
Gary.
Okay, hi, you're Gary. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on.
I mean, there's certainly logic.
You go two blocks, stop, two blocks, stop.
And you're assuming people
well,
stop at the
two
stop
blocks
line.
Roll
I
through.
I mean, that's the assumption even with the Bonnie Bray one. So.
Yeah.
So you're saying Gary, in lieu of a four-way at, or whether we call it a four-way, or, in lieu of a four-way at Bonnie Bray and Greenfield, you're suggesting, yeah, you're suggesting moving at a block west. What exists?
It's actually dead.
What exists right now at Greenfield and Bonnie Bray? It's a two-way right now. That's, and we would keep that the way it is under what, like Gary's amendment. What's your name?
Gary.
No, the other guy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I have no objection.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, and it's funny. I mean, it's one of those things where you go up to Elmwood Park and it's on every corner, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, you could debate. Yeah. Because as people start to ignore them and blow through them, then your stop signs aren't doing any good anyway. And there's a general view, I'm not saying it's always right, but there's a general view that stop signs are really to control right away and to make sure people know the rules. They're really not ideal for controlling speed. There are better ways to control speed. But having said that, and then the other thing we've tried to do, and it's sort of consistent with your suggestion, in that we've tried to space out stop signs so they are every couple blocks and that they're also in a consistent pattern so people can kind of know what to expect. So So it sounds like there's support. Yeah, but and we can come back to this. There's support for the all-way at William and Lemoyne. I haven't heard of it. And it sounds like Lemoyne and Clinton, that stopping the Clinton traffic, there's no objection to that one. And then in the Greenfield, then a suggested amendment would be to stop traffic at Greenfield and Clinton, you know, for all the ways, and then which is three ways. And at Bonnie Bray, we would keep the existing stop signs the way they are at Bonnie Bray and Greenfield, but we would install crosswalks, which I think is one of the proposals, as well as perhaps some kind of a high visibility pedestrian crossing.
We don't have anything. The ones in the street are difficult because the ones that we have in town are managed by the school. So if we did something here to be consistent with elsewhere in town, it would probably be the yellow kind of pedestrian crossing with the arrows pointing down to it on the side.
I mean, I think that would be at least a good start.
But the bump, I was thinking about the bump out, and again, at that corner, right, is our buses. You guys talking about a bump out at Clinton?
Yeah. You're talking about Clinton and Greenfield? And that is one of the streets, and I've lost track of where this is in the LOA, but they did have those three intersections marked. Yeah, for a pinching, is that the A2? Down a little bit at each of those. So.
I
what's, you know, getting late, what's the value of, I'm a little concerned, what's the value of the stop sign and stopping traffic on Greenfield? Stopping it at William, and it sounds like, Gary, you were lukewarm on one you could. No, you don't have one at Monroe, but you have one at William. Oh, yeah. No, you have one at Monroe. I see. So we would stop sign to Clinton and okay, let me try to make one that's clean with respect to just the. We could come back. So the amended motion would be an all-way stop sign in Lemoyne, two-way stop sign, Lemoyne and Clinton, but stop. And then a three-way stop. No, I'm sorry, Greenfield and Clinton Place. The HLOA restriction at
Fenwick is going to show up to like the stripes there in the pedestrian sign. I think you got to keep the street wide there.
So if I can, if I may, it sounds like, I don't think, Jeff, I don't think we need a motion, do we, just for whatever they make sense.
I would ask you to change the button.
And which way do we need those stop? I haven't paid enough attention. Sorry. Which way do the crosswalks need to go?
Okay.
New ladder crosswalks. Greenfield at Bonnie Bray. Bonnie Bray and Green. I would like to suggest table further discussion, you know, for a further meeting. I mean, I think we're obviously, you know, as Rick pointed out, I think his issues probably primarily with speed on William. Oh, I know that. I think for Greenfield to Kettle. And it's now getting on 10 o'clock. as well as no other actions with.
For the record, we did. The day after the last meeting, we sent Fenwick a letter kind of just stating the situation, asking them to encourage their families visiting, anybody visiting the sporting events, to park within. That letter was sent. That would be great. We can't necessarily make them, though.
No, I know.
So as you guys have heard us say tonight, we make these recommendations. What we make is advisory, and then it's up to the village board to decide whether they're going to adopt them. Jeff, do you know when these would come up likely to the village board?
So the next board meeting is on Monday night. These are not going to make it onto that agenda, though, yeah. So this would be the second or the first meeting, which is, should be the second Monday in October.
And do you know, Jeff, in the meeting, would there be a way to get out to the area that these proposals are on the agenda, or is that just part of the board meeting?
So up to this point, we've been utilizing, like, news for traffic-related items, so I would imagine we would continue in that vein, but we could certainly do, you know, we do those weekly, so we could certainly add. This was discussed, and it is coming for meeting we get closer.
If there's a way to do that. Normally, we right. Could we entertain him? You know, one, I want to thank everybody for coming. Two, you know, thank you. And everybody for your contributions and your ideas. You know, we try to be responsive. You know that sometimes minor issues in the schemes of things, but we know it's personal to be there, and it's so we appreciate everybody. And I think, you know, we'll start with these ideas, we'll collect some information, and then come back, and I assume we'll have on the agenda next time to continue the discussion, probably with Greenfield being at the top of the agenda, you know, followed by, you know, anything we recommend.
Clarify, do you, are you looking to have this a topic as a specific agenda item on the next regularly scheduled meeting, or are you looking to give the changes that have been recommended, assuming they are implemented, time to marinate first?
How much is a study?
Sure, I don't think moving them is going to be popular. People tend to like them where they are. So you're probably looking at purchasing new ones. They're about five. No, I mean, some of them are hardwired in. Some of them are solar, but it's not insignificant work. You know, we have the radar trailers from the police department, but those change behavior, as we've discussed. So is that data skewed? We don't really have staff to do that. Becomes more qualitative, right?
Well, yeah, there has to be.
Ish, yeah. There's about a 2.5-3 month lead time on those as well to the new units.
I think Williams do one more personally.
We should have. Do you want to take up? We know what to take up with William right now.
So one thing I will throw out.
I don't think we'd get right.
One thing I will throw out to that point: the village is currently working with a consultant on negotiating a scope for the village-wide study. There are elements of potentially of this area that we could try to plug into that project. You still are going to run into the same budgetary issues exactly, but there is an avenue wherein somebody else is going to be coming and doing a study. So for what it's worth,
well,
I guess that might be an option.
And consistent with that, Jeff, I think we also assume that with Fenwick's buying this property, that there are additional plans, you know, for what they're going to do with it. You know, I guess what I would suggest is that we hold off putting something firm on the agenda for the next meeting, see what kind of, see how things develop, see if these things get adopted by the village board. And then, you know, even if we don't have formal data, maybe we at least have some anecdotal data to see how things are going. And if somebody in the meantime wants to put something on the agenda, they can put it on the agenda. So that's, I guess, my suggestion would be we've bitten off quite a bit tonight. See how the village board takes that up. See if anybody raises any, you know, want to put some issue on our next meeting agenda, they can.
Pardon me if I'm sorry. Take that. Where is the 7 acres that Fenwick just bought? By what? You know?
Yes. It's the athletic field.
It's essentially Greenfield down to Division from William over to Harlem.
Oh,
it, the Priory campus is, and it's not that whole block. Correct. And there's like, there's a park district property.
Between Oak Park. They sold off that land. All right. Thank everybody. I'd like to see if anybody would like to make a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Sorry.
All right.
I'm ready.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everyone. If anybody has an item for the next meeting, put it, you know, contact the village and put it on the agenda.